Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to North San Diego Business at Large, where each week you'll meet some of the movers and shakers in the North San Diego County business community. North San Diego Business at Large is sponsored by Syndicating Your Content, where we bring traffic and income to your website. Visit syndicatingyourcontent.com for more information. Good afternoon, I'm Deborah Simpson coming to you from Carlsbad, California. If any of our listeners are on Twitter, and especially if you're a North San Diego business owner, I'd appreciate you hitting that Tweet This button on the left and let your followers know about the show. If you have a question, you can feel free to call in. The number is 646-929-0096, or you can send me a question via the chat room. It is open. And if you like the show, you can follow the show by tapping the Follow Us button on the show page. Of course, you can always keep up with us via iTunes. Today, my guests are Rebecca and David Randall. Now, they are singer-songwriters, recording artists first and foremost, and are also extremely active in many areas of the music business world, including music education, music production, and custom song creation. They're at the forefront of music education with their companies, Singing Lesson Expert, Guitar Lesson Expert, and My Songwriting Coach. They were featured on Fox News 5 for their custom songwriting business, and David has received critical acclaim for the album projects that he has produced. And while Rebecca, she's an incredibly respected vocal producer. So it is just, I'm so happy to have both of you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us, Deb.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, Deb.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And one of the reasons when we talked the other day, and I just love what you're doing, is because music runs in our family as well. And it filtered, I was telling David that it filtered down from both sides into our daughter, who's very musical, and I've always said, you know, Vanessa, I think you should write songs, but she's somewhat apprehensive about it. How did the two of you decide to go into an industry like this? I mean, your offerings are so diverse, you know, so how did it happen, and what do you have going on?
Oh, good heavens, Deb, that could take up the whole half hour. I'll just start real quick. I was raised in a family where my mom was an opera singer and directed operas in Eastman School of Music, so I grew up listening to that music. It was amazing. My grandmother was a concert pianist. So that's how that happened. I actually was, my father had been so critical of my songwriting that I wrote my first song when I was 14, and he just criticized it so desperately, horribly, that I gave up again until I was about 25, 26, when a very, very kind producer that I was working with really encouraged me and said, you know, you've got something to offer. So I actually just had some natural songwriting ability, and the second song that I ever wrote got picked up by Dale Tedesco Publishing, who held the Quincy Jones catalog in Los Angeles when I lived in L.A. So that was, you know, quite a win for me to have the second song I'd ever written picked up by a major publisher. So that's, I'm going to make it short and sweet on my side. David?
Well, I want to respond to you saying what's up for us, you know, what we do. If I was going to make a thumbnail encapsulation of all that we do, we deal beginning with our own artistry, our own desire to express, create and express music, and around the whole idea of performing music, I like to say we do it, we teach people how to do it, we help them do it, and in the case of custom songs, we do it for them. So those are really the four categories that we work out of, and we have multiple businesses that do each of those things, whether somebody needs instruction help in learning how to perform or play their instrument or use their voice, whether they need production help in the studio to get the best possible recording that they can, or whether they have a special event or a birthday or a wedding or a company that they need special music for to promote their company, we write custom songs for all of those situations.
David, you know what? That was really awesome, but that wasn't the question of what Deb asked. She asked, how'd we start out? So like husband and wives do, they interrupt each other and they do things like that all the time. I'm going to give David's history really quickly. David was actually in a very musical family as well. And by the time he was 14, his mom wanted him to learn how to play the guitar to accompany his brother to be like somebody in the Lawrence Welk show. It's a great little story, but I'm going to make it real quick. And then so what ended up happening is that David had never really thought about going into that because he was a pro athlete, four sport athlete. And so he ended up picking up the guitar. He ended up being incredibly talented. And by the time they were 15, 16, 17, he and his brother were in a band called the Brain Police, and they were sharing the stage with The Who, Cream, Steppenwolf, The Birds, the whole lot of them. So it was pretty phenomenal, actually, to have that kind of success, to be a teenager and to be standing in front of crowds of 10,000, you know, and more music festivals here in San Diego. So
yes,
go ahead. Yeah, so that's it. So that's just David's brief little history on how he started out.
Yeah, I actually know exactly who you're talking to when you mentioned those groups. It's sort of eerie. But then now, Rebecca, you work with students, helping them gain more control of their voices, right? So you're a vocal coach?
Yes, I'm actually a master voice teacher. And just real quickly, I'll just share the difference. Anyone can say they teach. There's many people that have BAs. I actually got vocal nodes from not learning how to sing properly. My mother had put over $25,000 in me. She said, "What do you want, a college education or your voice education?" And I said, "Hello," right? There's absolutely, hands down, put it into my voice training. So I was actually singing, dancing, and acting, all three of them. I was a professional dancer as well. But, there are people that had BAs from Berklee School of Music, Eastman School of Music, and Juilliard that trained me. And I still got into a rock band at the age of 24 and got vocal nodes, which is not good. There's even pros these days that they're natural talents, but then what ends up happening is that they don't really know how to sing, and like Adele, and after a year she ruptured her vocal cords just like Steven Tyler did. And when you rupture your vocal folds, they're really folds, not cords, what ends up happening is you have a 50-50 chance that you may not ever even speak, much less sing. So I decided to track down a voice physiologist teacher and learn from speech pathologists. So I teach that actually for speakers. I have speakers that are national speakers as well as people that tour. And then I also teach people that can't even stay on pitch and just want to sing just for the joy of singing because they're car and shower singers. So Yes, yeah, and I have actually Singing From Your Soul is a workshop I've been doing for about 20 years, and that has a nice mixture of sound play games that I've created along with real technique, because it's great to go into a workshop where people have fun, and, you know, a lot of times people in workshops will perform at the end, but then after that, what they don't have is that they got the joy and the excitement. Oh, I went to a voice workshop and I'm performing a song and I'm selling tickets and all that. And it's great, but then, okay, what are you going to do now for actually training your voice? So for me, I have on my website, I have results in 15 minutes a day. So you want to learn how to sing, all you need are 15 minutes of vocal exercises, and then you can do your songs. It's just like if you were a dancer, you know, like on So You Think You Can Dance, you're going to go right out and do a fantastic routine and do an axel up on the air and then land two down two on your knees and back bends and all that without warming up. No, isn't going to happen. You're going to hurt yourself. So same thing with singing.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
and Deb,
No, go ahead, David.
I have an observation, too, because I'm in this enviable position, actually, to watch the parade of characters that come through, all the students, all different kinds of ages. And one of the things that I never realized, not being a singer, is that your body is your instrument. It's not like you have a million-dollar Stradivarius or a great guitar or some instrument you're playing. Your body is your instrument. And it never dawned on me that there are so many things about the health and well-being of your body to keep it in the best possible singing situation. And Rebecca is so totally up on all of the things that you need to do for your health so that your body has the best possible voice as you go to present those emotional things that are songs, but you have to be in command of that, and Rebecca knows more than anybody I've ever seen about that stuff.
Yeah, I would assume, you know, I grew up in the Salvation Army, which is very musical, and grew up in band. I mean, I was sent to band camp in first grade. And when you're playing an instrument, you're using your diaphragm, you don't necessarily inflate your lungs. You come from your stomach and your diaphragm. Is that somewhat similar to singing when you talk about the nodes problem?
Yes, it is. You have to have support. You have to have the air support. Mm-hmm. So actually what happens when you take a breath is air goes up into your lungs, your intercostals, which are the muscles in between and underneath your rib musculature. They expand out like a bellows for a fireplace or like an accordion, and your diaphragm pushes down. So when you take a breath in for singing, what you have to do is take a breath in, but without letting your chest cavity see any visible up. So it's all happening lower belly so that everything surrounding the vocal folds, your cords, stays relaxed. And that's a bit of a challenge. I actually have pros that don't know how to do that. They don't know right where your sternum is. You could find that right now, Deb. Put your hand on your breastbone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Go directly under that as soon as it gets, my technical term, gushy. And when
yes.
you feel that, you can go, you-hoo-hoo-hoo. Just speak it. You-hoo-hoo-hoo. Feel that moving in? That's accessing your diaphragm.
I'll do it later.
Yeah. So when you do that, and you do that motion, it's called staccato, you-hoo-hoo, your diaphragm is doing what your brain is saying to do. It wants that type of movement to get that air burst out. Well, what I do is when I teach people, I teach them in their first lesson how to actually access your diaphragm properly. So when you're going for a note and you want it to be loud, what you end up doing is you end up giving a little activation there. I call it a little crunch, and it moves in. A lot of people teach you to move out. Out is absolutely opposite from how you want it to move if you want to support the tone going up high in the throat. So that's why I specialize in voice placement.
Ah. And when in talking with David earlier in the week, we talked about a lot of your services, and what I was really intrigued with is the idea that you write custom songs. Who are your customer for those custom songs, and how do you go about creating those songs? Because I have never heard of a service like this being offered.
Well, it's actually kind of multiple steps, if you can imagine the people who might need something like that. So we have one division of our custom songwriting business that is really for businesses that are really ready with their marketing to brand themselves out at a higher level and do things so that they really get recognized. A lot of businesses have a mission statement that just kind of sits dormant on their website. Maybe somebody reads it, maybe they don't. But the public doesn't always know who this company is. What are their core values and beliefs? What do they bring to the world? And music is such a strong communicator that for eons, churches have used music to warm up people's emotions before the message is delivered. And we imagine that corporations could have such a song, and not just corporations, like nonprofit organizations as well. They could have a song, I'm not talking about a 15-second or 30-second jingle, but a full song in the style of a major artist that they valued or liked. And that song would communicate the core values and beliefs and corporate culture of the company. Now, that's one style of custom song that we do. We also work with people who want an extraordinary addition to a wedding ceremony that, for most people, is like everybody else's wedding ceremony. But the people who really want to take it to the next level, we interview brides and grooms. We find out how they fell in love, what they mean to each other, all of the nuances of the nature of their relationship, where the proposal was done, all different types of things that Rebecca is amazing at extracting from people who might not otherwise talk about that depth of things in terms of the greatness of their love for each other. And then we weave that into a song that is sort of in the style of a major artist or song that they really love. And that can be used as the soundtrack for their videographer's material that was created from everything that happened at the wedding. All of their still photos could be in a slideshow, DVD type of thing with that music as the as the soundtrack. It could be performed live as part of the ceremony. It could be given as a wedding favor gift out to all of their guests at the wedding. It's a really, really, really powerful
thing. I think that's
really,
a lot
really
better than chocolate truffles. Right?
Oh, you know, we talked about the wedding aspect of it, but I'm intrigued. We didn't talk about the corporate aspect of it. Just sharing the mission vision through a song, or are there other creative uses for a song with a business, even a small business?
You know, it could be almost anything that we are very,
well,
very diverse
songwriters.
Well, let's talk
about the last one we did for Ken Foster, who's a coach.
Oh, yes, we all know Ken.
Yeah, we premiered it at Women's Wisdom and a couple months ago. And we have yet to go into the studio, but it turned out to be quite an anthem. I ran into people, you know, at different events and even in Trader Joe's and stuff, and they go, I still can't get that out of my head, because you know, we make it really hooky. I am definitely the pop queen when it comes to writing melodies that are very, very catchy. So yeah, it was a huge success.
What was his purpose for creating the song? What did he expect it to help him with?
Well, he wants to have something that could also be turned into a sound bite, you know, just a few seconds, 30 seconds, you know, for a website. He also wanted it before he goes to speak. He wanted to play about 30 seconds of the chorus so that as speakers, you know, major speakers that walk up have their entrance music. So that's going to be his entrance music. He also really, really, you know, when I told him that we had done with weddings, we had made instead of a chocolate truffle, you know, which is someone eats it and it's gone, that for the same price you have a CD duplicated, which is on your table, and that's the bride and groom's thoughts of love to one another put into a song, and that's a CD that someone will have forever as a keepsake. But Ken really got that, and he goes, wow. So he said, I could be passing out and giving away these MP3s as this is what I do. This is what my coaching business is about. This is This is my mission statement put to music.
Yeah, and Deb, there's one other thing that I really want to bring, because I know that you cater to a lot of business people. So this is another dimension. This is the way I'm looking at it, and this is the way I talk to my customers about it. There's been a really, really big new movement among business owners to write books. Because if you've got 10 business owners lined up and one of them has a book, the one with the book is elevated in the mind of the potential customer because they've got the book and the other people don't. This is another differentiation device. If you have a song and nobody else has one, and I guarantee you, you're going to be unique if you have a song even more than the people that have a book, or at least more differentiated, because there's far fewer people who have their own custom song than there are people who have written a book.
You know, I was just thinking that very thought. The book has become the new business card, and that's now what I'm thinking the song is that now the song can be your new business card as well. It's so unique that it makes you stop and say, wait, I got to listen to this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Boy, let's move over to, I know you also are musically inclined. I shared with you my daughter picked up the guitar but really fell more in love with the ukulele, and that's what she plays. She has a soprano and tenor uke, and the soprano one, I'm not sure. One of them is electric because she got tired of asking the venues to put a mic up to her non-electric uke. But you know, there are so many guitar instructors, and I know I put her through guitar lessons until she decided that she just didn't really want it because of, I think, was holding the frets down, the fingering of the strings. So do you have any kind of special approach that sets you apart when you're teaching people how to use the guitar, play the guitar?
Well, let me do it this way. I want to take a 30,000 foot view about music instruction in general. So one of the things that's the biggest problem is, like, for example, with piano instructors, they've been doing it the same way for so many years, and a lot of the kids don't really want to learn piano that way. They want to learn a contemporary, modern type of thing so that they can play the music that they're listening to on the radio. There was a time when the current music was Bach or Mendelssohn or Beethoven or Mozart. Excuse me, but that's not the current time. And while that is incredibly valuable music, and learning Chopin, especially in all of the different keys, all of the sonatas that he wrote, is powerful, it doesn't really relate to the current marketplace. So in that same way, it's important to teach people the kind of music that they want to learn, and it's important to teach them how to utilize the instrument in a variety of ways to be able to accompany any kind of song and differentiate it compared to how the actual artist who performed that song played it. Because I tell students that if they listen to a James Taylor song, but Paul Simon was to play that song, Paul Simon wouldn't play it the way James Taylor played it. They would play something that was unique and authentic to themselves. So it's more important to develop your own personal technique and strategy for expressing yourself that goes across all of the music that you play, be it original creative music that you do or your interpretation of covers that you might want to play. Another thing that I'm doing, excuse me, that is very, very powerful is there's a lot of people in my student list that they don't really want to go be professional musicians. I have tons of doctors and lawyers and architects and psychologists, people that realize that a great, great part of their emotional health and mental health is to have something personal that's on their heart or in their soul that they want to express that they can do in their spare time as their hobby at a high level. So I work with these people. I call them weekend warriors. They're still doing their regular professional work that they do. They're not quitting that, but they are learning how to pick up the instrument and play the kind of music that they want on their timetable and become somewhat of a master at it, at least something that puts a smile on their face and a glow in their heart.
Yeah, smile on the face, David. That's a good point because what several of them, and I know this, are getting ready to do because I've spoken to them about it, is they're getting ready to retire. And when you retire, what are you going to do? I mean, yeah, you have lots of stuff you can do, lots of stuff, but stuff that feeds your soul and your creativity and your artistry, what is, I'm partial to that. What's greater than that?
Yeah, you know, my dad stepped out of the Salvation Army for about 9 months. And the way my mom knew that he needed to go back into the Army as an officer was she caught him on the couch, his eyes closed, listening to the one of the records of the Salvation Army puts plenty of records out, and he was actually leading the band. And that's what he did. He was always the leader of the band. And
yes.
I actually used that analogy at his for his eulogy at his funeral was, you know, he was the leader of the band. And you know, what we're talking about encompasses so much of what he did. And going back to the songwriting, now, can you teach people how to write songs? And have you had success in helping students uncover their talents that they have in that area?
Yeah,
I'm
going
to just step in there. David, let me step in there for a bit because it's hard for you to say how fantastic you are. David, Deb, in this area is a genius. I mean a genius. He works with a lot of different modalities. One of my students recently said to me, I never even knew that was inside of me, that he got something out of me I didn't even know. Tears were streaming down her face. She said, this is amazing. In fact, this is, you know what, just for her, now this is just because she's younger, she goes, this is what I want to do. I didn't think I could do it, but this is what I want to do. I want to do this. And she can, actually. She's got enough talent to do it. So now, David, go on after I give you that wonderful praise that you deserve.
Well, again, I really, really like to take the 30,000-foot view. And the fact of the matter is there is this perception. I don't know why it exists. But in the arts, especially with things like singing or songwriting, there's this perception that you're supposed to pop right out of the womb and be a perfected singer or already be a songwriter. And if you don't already sound good singing or you don't already write songs, it's just not meant to be. Well, that's really kind of a ridiculous thing. The fact of the matter is you can go to major universities and have creative writing classes and use and learn how to be a much, much better writer. You can learn how to control the elements of composition for poetry or prose. Well, the lyric component of a song is just one dimension of it. You also need to learn how to do melodic contours and create harmonic backdrops. Aristotle used a word called prosody, which essentially means that the three components of the song need to all feel like each other. They need to feel like they belong and they're integrated and uniform throughout the song, so that the melody feels like the words and the chords feel like the words and it all feels like the same thing. And a lot of people, they begin as songwriters just kind of hunting and pecking. They try a chord and then they play every chord they know until they find one that kind of sounds good with the first one, but they don't really have an objective. They don't know how to get from point A to point B. And I show them how it all works together, how you can completely conceptualize the feeling, the intent, the theme, how the melody would go, how the chords would work, the six different ways to write a song. It's all there, and it's all teachable.
Wow.
So, and Can I interrupt for a second here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so real quickly, one thing that I teach and also in our exercise, this is completely off point, but do you hear how much David's been clearing his throat?
Yes.
There are speech pathology exercises that it's really hard. I mean, I have to do this with my husband. He didn't warm his vocal folds up before he went into speaking, and some people have more mucus. So I give this to my speakers that tour nationally and before they go on a talk radio, is to do these speech exercises to clear the phlegm off of the vocal folds. So, you know, that's something maybe at some point also we can give a mini little, maybe if you have us back on your show, I can give a mini little exercise that everyone can do at home so they'd be able to be ready to be on the radio.
Yes, so. You know, I was just thinking that there's so much content to cover with the two of you because your services are so unique and run across a wide breadth of the singing, songwriting area and playing. So for
speaking.
The listeners who would like to get in touch with you, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, we've got two websites. Actually, we're going to give all three, David. MySongwritingCoach.com for David. GuitarLessonExpert.com, and that's for David's guitar teaching, and SingingLessonExpert, these are all run together, .com, SingingLessonExpert.com for me. And then for if anyone's interested in the custom songwriting business, we have which one, David, for that wedding song for
well,
you?
CorporateAnthem.com is the business
yes.
one, which Deb is... She's highlighting all of this out to businesses, so that would probably
oh,
be the best
place. Oh, great. Okay,
so
CorporateAnthem.com, and this is a great place real quick just to give, this was Ken Foster's mission statement, is to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, do the impossible. And what we turned his the chorus of his song, which is just as catchy as heck, is see the unseeable, know the unknowable, do the impossible. Be everything you ever knew that you could be. It is said that the limits of the mind are deeper than the ocean or higher than the mountains. Dream an impossible dream.
That is the perfect way to end this. We'll definitely have to have you back on the show again to go into this topic a little bit more deeply. I want to thank both of you for being guests on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was
our pleasure.
Excellent. And that is the show for this week. You can join me in next Friday afternoon. My usual time is 3 p.m. We just did a special one today at 2. If you have an idea for the show, a business owner you think I should interview, or you just want to talk about the show, you can feel free to contact me. My number is 760-729-6647, or you can send me an email, Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at NorthSanDiegoBusiness.com. And until next week, I hope you have a safe and prosperous week.
North San Diego Business at Large is produced by Deborah Simpson and Syndicating Your Content, where we bring traffic and income to your website. Please feel free to leave your comments below.